Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
An implied question that recently came up in the State House was, should an evangelical legislator be permitted to open the session in a prayer that includes scripture and praying in Jesus' name? They say the prayer she voiced from the floor of the State House was divisive and they are calling foul, they meaning mostly Democrats. Let's see. She quoted scripture. She prayed for the House leadership, President Trump, and Governor Wolf. She thanked Jesus for the privilege of being a voice for him that day. She brought up George Washington and the Founding Fathers as they worked to establish a nation founded upon Christian principles. So should State House member Stephanie Borowicz, who represents parts of Center and Clinton counties, have been permitted to voice such a prayer? My guest today is Bob Marshall. He's a former member of the Virginia House of Delegates. Thanks, Bob, for being with us.
Well, thank you, Diane, for having me.
You know, when you look at Representative Borowicz's prayer, it's coming from a heart. There's no question that it's coming from a heart. And I was not offended by it at all. And I think she should have been allowed. But as we're looking at the pushback she's getting and looking at, you know, they're bringing up some of the ones giving pushback or bringing up court cases and such. Should the representative have voiced that prayer?
I don't see anything. Look, I listened to the prayer. My wife and I listened to it. Mm-hmm. I read it. I can't see where anybody can characterize this, as has been done in the media, because I just read a bunch of articles, as racist, Islamophobic, grossly intolerant, weaponizing prayer.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
These are conclusions, but there are no premises. In other words, the people making these assertions don't walk you through their chain of reasoning. They just jump down this woman's throat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's, in other words, that to me is a gap that I really can't cross.
Yeah. They just attacked her. I mean, even that day, they attacked her. And part of it was because later that day, the second Muslim member of the State House was sworn in. So that member said that representative's prayer was, she was weaponizing the prayer. Even though the representative did not mention any other religion, did not mention, did not proselytize in any way, and did not attack anyone by name or implication, but yet there's such, I'm just astounded by the pushback. I guess I shouldn't be. In our own Constitution, in the preamble, it mentions Almighty God and evokes His guidance as they set forth this Constitution. Our Constitution is older than the U.S. Constitution, and it mentions God. It's Section 3, Article 1, Section 3 deals with religious freedom, and Section 4 of Article 1 mentions religion in general, but specifically says, no person who acknowledges the being of a God and a future state of rewards and punishments shall, on account of his religious sentiments, be disqualified to hold any office or place of trust or profit under this commonwealth. Very clear.
Diane, let me actually quote another part of the Pennsylvania Constitution. It's Article 2, describing the legislature, and it's Section 15, talks about the privilege of members.
Mm-hmm.
It says the members of the General Assembly shall, for any speech, prayer is a speech, or debate in either house, they shall not be questioned in any other place. Now, where do people get off condemning, the representative
exactly
for this prayer? Because her prayer was, it had elements that I've seen of prayers done in Congress. And it had elements of Alexander Solzhenitsyn gave his famous Templeton speech in 1983, where he said, why has all this happened? Men have forgotten God.
Yeah.
That's why all this happened. He was referring to the Russian Revolution and the just the tragedies that ensued from that. Well, Stephanie, she was just talking about, God forgive us. Jesus,
yes,
we've lost sight of you. We've forgotten you, God, in our country. Well, now, what's the difference in what Solzhenitsyn said and what the representative said? I can't tell any distinct meaning. Moreover, there's been a resolution was introduced by one of the Democratic members of the legislature who took offense at these statements. And he quoted a case which is called the Town of Greece versus Galloway. This was a town in upper New York State in which people objected to certain prayers being led at the opening of the town meetings. Mm-hmm. He cites elliptically or very selectively parts of the decision that he thinks make his case. I'm sorry, he didn't cite the entire decision, which came down from Justice Kennedy and had concurring opinions from Justice Alito, Thomas, and Scalia. Now, this is what the Kennedy decision said. It says, Congress continues to permit its appointed and visiting chaplains to express themselves in a religious idiom, not by prescribing sectarian content, but by welcoming ministers of many creeds. And he cites here the Dalai Lama. He says, I'm a Buddhist monk, a simple Buddhist monk, so we pray for Buddha and all other gods. There's a Hindu person here. Hindu scripture declares without equivocation the highest good, never knowingly harm anybody else. In the decision, there's a reference to a rabbi in 1860 who is like almost like he was in the synagogue in full dress, made distinct references to the Hebrew scripture and, you know, Jewish practices. That was acceptable. In 2014, the year that this decision came out, I just read an article from Roll Call, which is a magazine I think owned by the Washington Post or some liberal outfit. They mentioned 19% of all the prayers from guest chaplains in the House and the Senate make express reference to Jesus. Now, if you are going to, ahead of time, saying you may not reference Christ, in effect, you are proscribing somebody of a certain religion from exercising their First Amendment rights.
Absolutely.
And you're putting a religious test, which is banned in the last sentence of Article 6 of the Constitution, for holding office. Mm-hmm. That is completely out of bounds.
Yeah.
You are not allowed to do that. So this decision in the city of Greece does not support what the proponents say it does.
Yeah.
So if they're going to go ahead with this, I hope that Representative Borowitz cites the rest of this decision because they want to censure her.
Oh, they absolutely do. That was called for by the Muslim member the day after the representative voiced her prayer. Yeah, it's interesting that their case that you cited, the Town of Greece case, the Supreme Court case, that was a religious freedom victory. It was not something
correct
that would limit the voicing of prayer within public meetings. Diane,
let me read part of this. The case cites, you know, the use of prayer, and they talk about the historical context in which prayer was allowed during the Continental Congress before the founding of the country. But they said this shaped and formed the understanding of the members of the first Congress when they did propose the First Amendment. He said the first prayer delivered to the Continental Congress by the Reverend Jacob Duché, September 7, 1774, ended with the following words: all this we ask in the name and through the merits of Jesus Christ, thy Son and our Savior. Amen.
Yeah.
And he quotes a letter from John Adams to Abigail Adams. He said, our tradition assumes that adult citizens firm in their own belief can tolerate and perhaps appreciate a ceremonial prayer delivered by a person of a different faith, which clearly did not happen in the case of Representative Borowitz. She was taken over the coals for making express reference to Jesus Christ. How do we get to this point where mentioning the name of Jesus becomes an occasion of scandal or an offense?
And she also quoted scripture, and this was mentioned in a couple articles. She quoted scripture, the scripture that says, and at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. So they definitely took offense to this, and she asked for forgiveness. She quoted 2 Chronicles 7:14 and such as that. But the pushback, and I can't answer the question as to how did we get here fully. I think part of it is the churches have stepped back from their rightful role within society and are allowing the void that they've created to be filled by those who do not believe in God. And I think that's a major, major part of it. And the church, even now, by and large, refuses to get involved. But I'm just astounded by the immediate and continuing attacks against the representative. My gut feeling, she's a freshman. She was just elected in November. Clinton and Center counties are conservative. And my gut feeling is they want her to resign. They're going to try to put so much
pressure
on her.
Well, clearly they don't like people. They are troubled by someone with such firm conviction regarding the laws of nature and nature's God, which they shouldn't be, because those words that I just quoted come from the Declaration of Independence. And again, let me go back to this decision here in this case, Town of Greece. This is Justice Kennedy said, he's talking about the people who were objecting to the prayers, you know, by the pastors in this town. Mm-hmm. He said, in their declarations in the trial court, respondents stated that the prayers gave them offense and made them feel excluded and disrespected, similar to what the representative from Philadelphia said, the new lady. Offense, however, does not equate to coercion. Adults often encounter speech they find disagreeable, and an Establishment Clause violation is not made out any time a person experiences a sense of affront from the expression of contrary religious views in a legislative forum. The Constitution does not guarantee citizens a right entirely to avoid ideas with which they disagree.
You mean
This is Kennedy. Legislative bodies do not engage in impermissible coercion merely by exposing constituents to prayer they would rather not hear, in which they need not participate. Look, Stephanie didn't say, by the way, if you don't believe in this, you're going to hell, you know, as soon as you die. Mm-hmm. She didn't mention the word Islam. She didn't mention Muhammad. She didn't mention, you know, certain social characteristics about people of the Islamic faith, like a hijab. Didn't say anything about this. Didn't say anything about any race of human beings. How does she end up as a racist? I mean, this is beyond description.
You know, it's almost to the point where those on the left have become so sensitive to words they don't like. Are they going to introduce a constitutional amendment that makes it illegal to, or make it unconstitutional to voice opposing views? I mean, that's about to the point where it seems we're headed in that direction anyway. I don't think it would ever happen. Hopefully it wouldn't. But, you know, as you're quoting from that case, it's very clear that the Supreme Court would support the words that came out of Representative Borowitz's mouth the other week.
Sure. And again, as a matter of fact, I think it's Alito who Alito, Thomas, and Scalia. They point out that there's no requirement that you only have non-sectarian prayer, and that you are forbidden from having sectarian prayer. Alito says, there's not only is there no support for this proposition that only generic prayer is allowed, but as our country has become more diverse, composing a prayer that is acceptable to all members of the community who hold religious beliefs has become harder and harder. It was one thing to compose a prayer that is acceptable to both Christians and Jews. It is much harder to compose a prayer that is also acceptable to followers of Eastern religions that are well represented in our country.
Yeah.
So the idea that you can do this is basically to proscribe certain religious beliefs in favor of others. And being personally affronted is not a test of whether something's constitutional or not. What happened to tolerance?
Exactly. And it seems more and more that those who are crying tolerance the loudest are the most intolerant. In fact, the day after Representative Borowitz voiced her prayer, the very day after, the other Muslim member of the State House opened the session in prayer and read from the Quran. I don't see where Representative Borowitz voiced any opposition. She's not calling for censorship of Jason Dawkins, a state rep from Philadelphia, the other Muslim state rep from Philadelphia. They're both from Philadelphia. But I don't see where the Representative Borowitz is asking for censorship of him because she doesn't agree with what he said.
Well, this resolution that I'm reading from, I don't have the number. I think it's House Resolution 182 or 84, but I could find it if I had to. I have it in front of me. This clearly wants to censure her for referencing Christ, although it doesn't say Christ. She did reference Christ. And now, why is that a particular problem?
Yeah.
Again, she wasn't saying, if you don't believe in this, you're evil, you're malevolent, or whatever.
Right.
I would think what's going on here is that the obvious political differences between Representative Borowitz and the Democrats, who were for abortion on demand and, you know, LGBT guys can marry each other, things like this, I think they're taking that and wrapping their objections in religious garb, which I don't think is justified.
Yeah, I totally agree. In fact, Governor Wolf, his response was he was horrified, and he apologized to the incoming Muslim representative. He apologized for all Pennsylvanians for the prayer that Representative Borowitz voiced. I'm sorry, but all Pennsylvanians were not offended by her prayer, unlike what Governor Wolf believes, for sure. But I think a lot of it is, as the name of Jesus was mentioned that day, that the Holy Spirit was working and made certain representatives feel guilty. I mean, that's kind of my, like you said, those are the ones who support same-sex marriage, abortion on demand, and such as that. And I think that, you know, as the representative said, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And that was highly offensive to them because she quoted that scripture.
The people who are offended by that don't have to believe it.
I know.
They don't have to agree with it.
I know.
Okay, that's fine. That's what you think. I don't think that. So let her say it. What is wrong with doing that? I mean, she said, referring to God as the great I am.
Mm-hmm.
That is from the Torah, the first five books.
Right.
I think it's Exodus. I am that I am.
Yep.
That's the definition of God.
Absolutely.
So she just directly quotes scripture, and this becomes an affront. You know, if we actually had journalists in this country,
wow,
who, you know, when I grew up, they would ask questions.
Uh-huh.
They would say, well, you know, explain this. They wouldn't go with assumptions. They'd either verify them or they wouldn't print them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've got people who are just partisans.
Oh, yeah.
And none of them are asking any of the people who level these charges against the representative, mm-hmm, why do you say that this is racist? Why do you say this is Islamophobic? And
mm-hmm,
Islamophobic, if you break down the components of the word, phobia means fear.
Right.
But this isn't, they're using Islamophobia as a kind of a sense of personal hostility.
Right. It's the same thing with homophobic. I mean, those made up words.
Look, this is not, it's like these other people are mind readers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, Stephanie's having her mind read, but they don't know all her motives.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't possibly know all her motives, but they're imputing motives to her, and the so-called press, the journalists, are not asking the critical questions, say, well, why do you think it is Islamophobic to mention Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, she didn't say anything bad about anything Islamic. She didn't mention
Islam or any other religion. She did not mention any of that. And the media that were there, they were probably just as offended as the Democrats, who immediately voiced their opposition, their offense. My guess would be the media was very much as offended as the Democrats and the Muslims who were there. But
well, they really need to, well, of course, there's hardly a difference between the mainstream media and
true.
The Democrats.
That's true.
But they need to tell us why this is the case, not to force this down everybody's throat, these conclusions, which are not substantiated. I can't believe anything that I read anymore.
No.
Again, I was born in 1944, so I actually was around when you actually had people who kept their opinions through a newspaper to the editorial page, and they put, facts down as best they could arrive them in the news columns.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I can believe now in a newspaper is the sports page.
Sports page. Maybe. Yeah, no, unless somebody's Right, yeah.
Well, because I can check it out. The comics page.
Right.
The Nats won or lost by a certain score, and I can check that out because other people went to the game.
Yeah. Again, this is Pennsylvania, and, you know, one of the big things for William Penn was religious freedom. Yeah, we have a state representative who's being attacked for voicing her religious beliefs in a prayer, and the intolerant ones are being very vocal to the point where they're wanting to highlight her quote-unquote errors through this resolution, and it's just astounding to me. When William Penn, he would not recognize his Penn's Woods for what it has become, it's for sure.
We've become this way because the Christians have pulled back.
Yeah.
I mean, that's in part why I wrote my book, Reclaiming the Republic, to show Christians how to work Caesar's world. You are not kicked out of the public square just because you bear the sign of faith in Christ as a United States or Pennsylvania citizen.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You do have rights. You have rights as a citizen, and you better exercise those rights.
Absolutely.
St. Paul, when he was in a fight with the Sanhedrin over preaching Christ crucified, remember the Sanhedrin wanted Festus to turn Paul over to the Sanhedrin so they could stop him from preaching about Christ in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Paul, and Festus was the Roman governor, Paul said, you can't do this to me. And Festus basically said, why? And he said, because I am a Roman citizen. And in effect, to turn a Roman citizen over to a subordinate power that had been defeated by force of arms, and it was a, you know, paying tribute to Rome, would have been Festus's head. So Festus said, you're a Roman citizen? You're appealing to Caesar, you will go to Caesar.
Yeah.
Our people have got to know the rules of Caesar's world, or we're going to get totally rolled right now.
You're absolutely
in Congress. 240 members, 240, that's more than a majority. 240 members of Congress have co-signed a bill, 239, 240 total, co-signed a bill that basically will require churches to hire people who are engaged in homosexual behavior as teachers, and as people who will run the church.
Yeah.
You will lose your tax status if you don't marry somebody
yeah.
who is a guy with a guy. So
yeah.
why has this happened? The Christians are asleep at the switch.
Yeah.
You've got to pay attention to this. Go look at my book, Reclaiming the Republic.
Yeah.
It shows you how to work the system.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, so many Christians don't even know who their state representative or state senator is, or their, let alone their U.S. congressman or senators. I mean, it's just astounding. And I totally agree. They have to learn the process, the way that the government works, and learn how they can become involved. But yeah, the Equality Act, what you just mentioned before, would do that and force churches to open their bathroom doors to whomever, no matter what their bylaws may say. But yeah, but referring back to your book, here on Chapter 5, it says, the intolerance of those advocating tolerance or religious freedom slipping away. That's the title of that chapter. And that's just a warning. And I do encourage folks to get this book, Reclaiming the Republic, How Christians and Other Conservatives Can Win Back America, something we desperately need to do. I mean, our founding fathers were willing to spill their blood to allow us to live in freedom, and we're squandering their sacrifices. We're forgetting their sacrifices, and we're allowing the Looney Tunes, I call them the Looney Tunes, to take over the country, pretty much without a fight on our side.
The Book of Hosea, not Bob Marshall, the Book of Hosea says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Absolutely.
It doesn't say they have to be destroyed, but if you don't have the knowledge, you don't know how to press your rights, you don't know how to defend your rights, you don't know how to articulate your rights when you're being attacked.
Yeah.
You have got to get this knowledge.
Yeah.
Knowledge of Caesar's world is a mandate for people marked with the sign of faith.
Yeah.
Because we are supposed to be the light of the world. If you don't know how the world works, how can you be the light of something that you're completely ignorant of? You can't do it.
True.
You're supposed to be the salt of the earth. You can't be the salt of the earth if you don't know how you are supposed to put the salt, the savor, the preservative,
mm-hmm.
which is the laws of nature and nature's God, into operation. You can't do it. You can't
Absolutely.
Be faithful to Christ if you're not doing that.
Yeah, and we definitely need to pray for the nation, but we also need to be involved, even as the early church was involved. We definitely need to pray, but we need to be involved. And I do encourage folks to get a hold of your book, Reclaiming the Republic. How can folks get a hold of the book itself?
Go on, look on Amazon, and you can find it there. It's in a Kindle version, or it's in a hardback version.
Okay, great, great. And if folks want to contact you, how can they do that best?
Let me give you my email.
Okay.
Is Robert G, the middle initial, Bob Marshall, two L's, Robert G, Bobmarshall at gmail.com. If you've got any questions, I'll try to answer them.
Okay, yeah. And I do encourage your listeners to very much get involved in the situation with Representative Borowicz, because it's, again, astounding that this is happening in Pennsylvania, that's happening anywhere in the United States. But do encourage folks.
And
go ahead.
If you live in her district, you really have got to become active. You've got to work a precinct for her.
Yep.
Look, there's 187,000, 88,000 precincts in all 50 states. Do we have 188,000 people who are dedicated, intelligent, energetic Christians to run these precincts?
Wow.
If we don't, blame us.
Yeah, true.
We have got to do this. And that's all it takes. You have to run the precinct. You don't have to win every precinct, to win your point.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to win the race, because you're taking away resources from other races that might be closer.
Yeah.
But you must do so. You cannot let the other side operate free of hand, unchallenged.
True. That's true. Yeah, we definitely need to get involved, and our primary is coming up here in May, and that's a start. Find a candidate that you can support and do what you need to help that candidate get elected. Thanks, Bob, again, for your insight into this and for checking out that Town of Greece versus Galloway case and how pretty much it applies to this situation here in this state. So appreciate that, and you take care.
Thank you, Diane.
Okay, take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.